here in 2002, and I'm interviewing Jack Prince. He's sitting here in front of me. I just want to ask him a few questions. My name is Mary Witkowski. I'm the head of the historical collections at the Bridgeport Public Library. Jack, I've known you often. I've been here 17 years, and I think I met you when I first came to Bridgeport. And I'm just wondering a few things about you. So we'll start at the beginning. When and where were you born?
Greenwich, Connecticut, November 20th, 1925.
Now, is Jack, is it derivative from John?
John, it's really John, yeah. Jack is a nickname.
Where were your parents from?
My uncle was born in Bridgeport on Olive Street. My mother was born in Bridgeport in a house on Atlantic Street.
Uh-huh, I see. And so how many kids, other kids in the family?
There was five of us. I had an older brother, and he passed away about 10 years ago. And I had two sisters. One passed away last year. She was living up in Vermont. And I still got one, Barbara. She's living in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, okay.
And I got a brother. He's the youngest. He's living in Rockville, Maryland.
Now, where you said, is your father, did he pass away?
My father passed away.
Okay. And your uncle was kind of like your...
Well, my mother died when I was seven.
Oh, my.
1933, she was 27. And so my uncle didn't have no children, so he raised my brother and myself.
And what was your uncle's name?
Billy.
Oh, okay.
William J. Prince.
Now it's making more sense.
My father was Frederick, because a lot of people got him mixed up.
Uh-huh.
Everybody thought Billy was my father, because I lived with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because my father kept the three youngest ones.
Oh, okay.
And my brother was older, and we went with my uncle.
And then, so did you come to Bridgeport, or?
Yes, yeah. We
around what year did you move to Bridgeport?
We came out in 1933.
And how old were you then?
Seven.
Uh-huh. So did you go to school in Bridgeport?
I started in St. John's and Stanford. And I came up here for the third grade, St. Augustine's.
Oh, okay.
And I went to Central.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in the Navy.
And you went in the Navy. What was it like growing up? Like, what neighborhood in Bridgeport did you live in growing up?
We lived in the Hollow for a while, Harold Avenue.
Harold Avenue?
Yeah, my grandmother. My grandmother had a house on Bronx Avenue, so we lived there for a short while. And then my father got one of the apartments on Harold Avenue. And we lived there for a couple of years till my uncle moved to Washington Place.
Uh-huh. And so then you were still in an apartment?
After we left the apartment, he went to his house.
Oh, okay.
He had a home.
Oh, great. Okay.
Washington Place.
Now, what do you remember about school life? Anything particular growing up in Bridgeport that was...
Well, I remember Father Hannahan when he first started.
Oh, really? Yeah. That was at St. Augustine's?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, if I can remember the priest that was there before him, Father Ganley.
And what was...
He was tough. Father Hannahan was...
Really?
Yeah.
Now, were there nuns teaching there, too?
Yeah, all nuns.
All nuns, yeah.
There was only two lay teachers, two women.
So that was at St. Augustine's School. And then you went to high school at...
Central. I went to the old Congress for junior high before it burned down.
On Arch Street?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then I went up to Central for the other 3 years.
Oh, okay. So what year did you graduate from high school?
1943.
Oh, so then you were right smack in the...
I went right in the service, yeah.
Uh-huh. That were a lot of boys that went to school with you when they went to
school? Oh, everybody did.
Really?
Just about everyone went in, yeah.
Uh-huh. What was that like? Leaving Bridgeport and going to the service, you remember?
Well, most everybody my age was gone, so we actually were looking forward to get away from here. Yeah, I went up to Newport, Rhode Island to boot camp.
Oh, beautiful. And did you actually go overseas?
Oh, yeah, well? Yeah. I went on destroyers.
Mm-hmm. So you were in the Navy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the old four-stack destroyers.
Oh, wow.
And they were built in 1918.
And how long were you in the service then?
Well, almost 3 years. I came out in 46.
And then what did you end up doing?
Oh, I went right to work for my uncle at the restaurant.
Now, where was your uncle's restaurant?
Well, the first one he opened was on corner of Congress and Main.
Uh-huh.
But there was prohibition hadn't come back. The liquor they had no liquor over here.
And what year
was all bootlegging.
What year was that? Did he open the restaurant?
Well, he opened that restaurant about 1920, 21.
Oh, okay.
What year was he an alderman? Do you remember?
Who was he an alderman with? Was it with?
I have an idea. Could have been Buckingham or.
Buckingham was mayor.
It had to be before 1925.
Buckingham was mayor twice. It's kind of funny. Buckingham was mayor from 1909 to 1911.
That wouldn't be it.
Okay, but then later, from 1929 to 1933, he was mayor again.
And then who was before Buckingham?
Barons, which I think that picture
it
is
may
Barons.
Have been Barons.
I think
yeah.
it's Barons he's in the picture
yeah.
with.
Barons had the meat market on the.
Right,
on
yeah,
Fickle
exactly.
Avenue.
Barons was mayor from 1923 to 1929.
Then it would have been under him.
So right around that point, he opened up his restaurant?
Yeah, because he retired from boxing.
Uh-huh.
And,
so before that, he was a boxer?
It was his whole career.
A local boxer?
He was New England featherweight champion.
Oh, wow.
And he was aspiring. Partner for Jack Dempsey. That's how they became
oh
such
goodness.
Good friends. And so that would have been in the early 20s.
So you grew up knowing some of those?
Oh, I knew them all.
Wow.
Every week we'd go down to Dempsey's and then he'd come up about once a month.
That's incredible.
And in 1933, when beer came back the first year,
mm-hmm.
liquor didn't come till 34.
Oh,
beer and wine came and Jack Dempsey served the first beer. In the
wow.
restaurant on opening day.
And the restaurant on Main Street?
No, we were on State Street.
On State Street.
Yeah, we're right next to where the park is now.
Mm-hmm.
They tore it up, built it down, right next to City Hall it was.
Oh, okay.
And that's when Jasper McLeavy got elected that year,
uh-huh.
32. And Fred Schwarzkopf was the town clerk.
Right.
Peter Brewster was the
Department
of Public Works.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And they used to come in every single day.
Wow.
Every day, McLeavy would stop and have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, McLeavy didn't drink, did he?
He never drank.
No. That was, in the one article I saw about your uncle, it mentioned him, it was towards the end, it was like in 57 or something. And it talks about him coming in and having a Coke.
Yeah, Coke, cup of coffee, yeah. Every day he'd stop in. Then you go to Van Dyke's was on Main Street,
mm-hmm.
and he'd have a couple cups of coffee there. And Pete Brewster came in every single day for lunch.
And
Fred Schwarzkopf.
Uh-huh. So that was kind of, turned out to end up being a kind of a hangout for local.
It was.
Political.
Everybody.
Really?
Yeah, because my uncle was big in Republican politics at the time.
He was the head of the
yeah.
Republican, was he a chairman of the Republican
yeah.
Party?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he actually, it was a state.
State Boxing Commissioner.
Boxing Commissioner.
Yeah, athletic
right.
Commissioner, they
right,
call
yeah.
Under Governor Baldwin.
That's amazing. So he actually, after he was in sparring with Dempsey and all that, he lived in Bridgeport when he was doing all his boxing? When he was a
well, his
man?
Home was in Bridgeport, but he fought out in the Ark a lot.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where he lived.
And how did he do?
Probably, yeah.
How did he do as a boxer?
Well, he did very well. I think he had done like 125 fights, I think he only lost one.
Wow.
I think he was only knocked out once in there.
That's incredible.
Yeah, very good fights in those days.
Yeah. Was that, well, how did he end up going into boxing? Did he ever tell you why he chose that? Or?
Never did, no.
Yeah. So probably, was he born in Bridgeport?
Born on Olive Street.
Okay, so he was a regular Bridgeporter. So the place, the old, place that was where the green is now, right?
Yeah. Then they, in 1959, they tore the building down, and they moved to Main Street.
So do you have any, like, stories about who used to hang out there, or any particular
who's in there?
Favorite story? Well, let's think. Who would have come in there back in the 40s?
Mickey Walker came up a lot.
Who was Mickey?
He was welterweight champion, then he became light heavyweight champion,
mm-hmm.
then he fought almost every class.
Wow.
And he lived in Red Bank, New Jersey, and he would come up, then I'd drive him back, because by that time they had a...
And how old were you then?
I was 16, I just got my license.
And you would already drive him back to...
Oh yeah, because when you were 15 in those days, you could drive in Connecticut
mm-hmm.
with your parents. So when we go down we used to go almost every Sunday, I could drive as far as Greenwich.
Wow.
And then my uncle and my aunt had to drive from there.
Oh, jeez.
But then at 16, you could get your license.
Uh-huh.
Then I used to take them all the way to the...
So you were the chauffeur because
Yeah, I didn't drink.
You didn't have any, you were the designated driver back then.
I used to drive them up to see Lewis and Kahn.
Oh, wow.
Up when they were in training up at Pompton Lakes.
Wow.
Because they all were partying and...
You got to see all the greatest, eh?
Every one of them.
Wow, that's amazing.
Willie Pep, I probably saw just almost every one of his fights. Well, then he became commissioner, I was sure I could sit in the first row. And at that time, there was a boxing match in every day of the week in some place in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
At the Stanford, Norwalk, Bridgeport, Hartford, New Haven, Waterbury, Danbury. So every single night you could go to a fight.
Wow.
So he had to go to most of them.
So where in Bridgeport did they actually set up the ring and where
they had
the fight?
At the mosque was big.
Uh-huh.
Redmond's Hall used to be over on Madison Avenue. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Redmond Hall. And then they used to have the automotive twins. Ford people had a place over here next to the Time Star. And they used to box up on the roof. And then Newfield Park was big in the summers.
That's incredible.
Savin Rock was big for it.
Did they box at Pleasure Beach at all?
No, I don't remember any of them there.
Yeah.
See, then he was a matchmaker, promoter,
mm-hmm.
and he had a couple of fighters too.
So he would promote in the city boxing and.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. He did. He did all of the promoting in this area.
That's incredible. So then eventually, when he bought this place, he ended up, all these guys that were boxers would come.
They all came in, yeah. And of course, then all the politicians came too, because he was...
Popular place.
Pretty, very, very popular.
Uh-huh.
Then when he moved to Main Street in 59,
mm-hmm.
then when he got sick in 67, and I was working in Florida at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I came back, because he died the following year. So I took it over in 68, and I just sold it now to Mary.
Uh-huh.
So I think 61 years in all.
Wow,
that's a long
time, yeah. Did, where were you, like, you were there in the 40s when he was?
I was there in 41, 42, mm-hmm. then 43, I went in service.
Service, and then you came back, and then you stayed in Bridgeport?
I came back. Yeah, I worked a couple of years from 46, and then I used to go down to Florida in the winters,
mm-hmm.
and then come back and work in the summers.
I'm just trying to think of who used to come in who were his friends that would come into the bar.
Well, let's see, he had, everybody in town, all the sports writers and all the newspaper men.
Harry Nair, Did you know Harry?
Sure, very well.
Could you tell
very
me any
well.
Stories about Harry? Because Harry knew everybody.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I haven't seen his son around, have you? Alan,
I know Alan, Alan is a nice,
Last time I saw was when he came in with you. Now that was on Main Street, or was that on?
Alan there came in with me?
Yeah, because he's the one that told me that you wanted those pictures that his father did.
Oh, okay.
The sketches.
Uh-huh.
And you said, I think I was still on Main Street then.
You have a better memory than
I
do.
And you said if you ever, you know, decide to move or anything, would you give us the pictures?
Oh, okay.
And that's why I brought them down. And I didn't know if you wanted them all or just those sketches.
Oh, yeah, no, those are great.
Good.
What we've got is wonderful. In fact, we were just looking at them yesterday.
A lot of them, you got Governor Baldwin, there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Cross might be in some of them. Jimmy Shannon is in some of them. I know, what's his name, he came up once. Oh, he became governor of New York. He was the attorney general. Dewey was up.
Now, did back in the old, like in the 40s and that, when the theaters were, there was a lot going on in downtown Bridgeport, can you kind of describe what the rest of downtown was like back then?
Oh yeah, the Poli, the Majestic, the Globe, the Lyric, the Strand, the Rivoli.
Wow.
These were just right in downtown.
Do you remember like some of the famous actors and actresses?
Well,
did they come into
Jimmy Durante came in, when they had the old restaurant,
mm-hmm.
before the liquor came back, he used to play vaudeville at the Globe.
Oh, wow.
And he used to like to spar with the boxers out in the back.
Oh, neat.
And I got a picture of him that I took down to Carolina with me.
Wow.
And it's all autographed. And
wow. So you got to meet Jimmy Durante?
Oh, yeah.
What was the thing?
I met a lot of them.
And who else did you meet that, just from that, from like the...
I knew Jack Kennedy, of course. And I knew all the Skakels because I came from Greenwich.
Wow.
So, and I knew Bob. Bob and I were both born the same day. He was born November 20th, 1925.
And how did you know Jack Kennedy?
Well, I met them in Florida when I was working at the, they lived in the club.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I knew Bob from Greenwich. Mm-hmm. I'd come up in the summers. When I got married, I moved to Greenwich. I lived there till we moved to Fairfield.
Mm-hmm.
Bought a house in Fairfield. So I knew all the Skakels because from hanging around them.
Wow.
And then I knew Bob, I knew Jack when he was a senator, then he married the...
Mm-hmm.
But I used to see him, I knew Rose,
mm-hmm.
and I knew his father, Joe.
Oh, wow. So you actually...
I didn't know that this young one too much. He was the youngest, Teddy was...
Oh, Ted, yeah.
He, Bob was my age, and Jack was a little older than us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Jack would have been a little bit older. He would have been, yeah, because he was like my dad's age. Did he ever come visit you in Bridgeport at all?
No.
Yeah, and Kennedy did come a couple times to Bridgeport.
Yeah, I ran into Bob a couple times. I had to go down a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the Skakels died, of course, it was his brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at the wake at the time.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think I ever saw Jack a couple of times when he was president.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, he just...
Yeah.
He didn't go running around like he used to.
In the old days, eh?
I guess the FBI wouldn't let him.
Wow. Then I'm just trying to get a picture of what, because it sounds like all the activity in Bridgeport.
Plenty of it. Yeah. That's why I say people like, it's a sin to see what they do.
All the stores, there were stores that were...
Jerseys, you couldn't walk downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't drive, everybody was walking in the streets.
It's amazing.
And that was a big deal for, you know, women shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Pink Elephant was quite a place.
That was in the Barnum Hotel.
Yeah, that was in the Barnum. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they had the Pink Elephant room. That's where most of the women met.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the elderly women went to the Rose Room.
Oh, where was that?
That was in the Strathfield.
Oh, okay.
And then Reed's, of course, had the big tea room. So that was a big thing for. I know my grandmother went almost every day.
So the where were the stores that most people went shopping in back then?
Hallam's, Levitt's was big for young, for kids' clothes, and I had an uncle that was a manager at Foster Bessie. That was a men's department store.
Right.
And it was my grandmother's brother. He managed that.
So when your uncle, I'm almost thinking it was your dad because he was like your dad, right?
Then my father had the restaurant on Park Avenue.
Oh.
Park Avenue Restaurant, which is now the Sports Page.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that's what people kept getting us confused because they always thought, you know, Billy was my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, no, my father is the other restaurant.
Uh-huh. Wow. Did, when he was an alderman and then when Jasper McCleavy became mayor in 1932,
he went in with Roosevelt that year.
33, yeah.
Well, 33 took office, but he got elected 32.
He, what did your uncle think of all of that? The socialists?
Oh, he loved him.
Really?
But basically, he was a Republican.
Did he continue as a...
Socialist.
Did he continue in office as an alderman? Why? McCleavy?
No, I think he maybe had one or two terms, I'm not sure.
But
you might be able to pick that up
right,
in one of
yeah.
your little...
But he thought McCleavy was a good mayor?
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
What
he had the backing of all the Republicans. Boucher was a big backer of his.
Oh, he was?
McCleavy's, yeah.
What do you remember about the blizzard that they remember? The blizzard. You probably
haven't. Oh, I remember
that.
The blizzard. Let's see. We were living in a hollow at that time. So that was about 1930.
It was 34.
Yeah, because school was closed for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't get to school. And the snow in the back of us was, we lived on the third floor. I think the snow was practically up to the first floor.
Wow.
And we had to come out in the back. We started, it dug like little passageways, you know, to get out. Well, there was only one little store at the time, I remember. There was a little grocery store on the corner of Harold and Lexington, no, Mellon Street or Sanford, one of those. And that was the only store that was ever open.
Wow.
And it, I mean, he was open all during the blizzard because I remember we used to go over there.
Mm-hmm. So everybody was pretty much trapped in their houses.
Oh, yeah. Well, some people were trapped at work. You know, they couldn't get home.
So you think there's that famous statement by McLeavy?
Well, actually, McLeavy didn't. It was Pete Brewster that said it.
That's what I had heard, yeah.
He was at us and having lunch
in the
restaurant. He was in the dining room, and we were all sitting there, and I got the newspaper, and somebody said something about the snow. He said, well, God put it there. Let him take it away. But McLeavy always got the blame for it.
Yeah, he's getting blamed for it even today.
Yeah, I know.
People call me up.
I tell a couple of people, I said, that story's not right.
So was there a reporter just happened to be sitting in the place at the same time?
Yeah, I think, he came in and he was having lunch there and he overheard us talking or something.
I guess if you wanted a story back then, that was the place to hang out.
That was the place to go.
You didn't have to go very far.
No. That's why everybody was in there. Eddie Shagrew was in there almost every day.
Uh-huh.
You know? And the Time Star people, and of course, the Herald people.
So do you know James McGovern?
Yeah, very well.
Then
I went to work for the Post when I was...
Oh, you did?
Well, probably about 8 years old.
What did you do for
the Deliver
Post?
Newspapers.
Oh, okay.
Everybody delivered newspapers.
So back then, you actually delivered the papers yourself?
Yeah.
Not like they do it now, where they just
And you had the morning. You had the morning telegram. And the Sundays. Oh, 7 days, that was, yeah. Then I had magazines on the side. Two-story, Liberty, and all those.
I have the oral history that I did with Sam Liskoff, and he goes into great detail about delivering newspapers, because he delivered papers too.
I think everyone did it.
Yeah.
That was
a way to make some money.
Walk.
Yeah, that's great. Now, do you actually remember, like, just before World War II, do you remember when the Hindenburg went over?
Very well. Yeah, it came over Bridgeport, and they let us out of school.
Really?
They took us out in the playground, and we saw it go right over, went over Bridgeport.
So everybody went out to...
Everybody went out to see it.
Wow.
And then the next thing you know, we hear it on the radio.
It blew up in New Jersey. Yeah. Wow, that's something. So that was sort of, it was interesting because they had the swastikas on the side,
and it was pretty low when it went over, It went right over St. Augustine's.
Right. Yeah, we have great photographs of it going over Bridgeport. So what were things like just before World War II in terms of?
Well, I don't know. Everybody said it was depression, but we ate.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it wasn't. Nobody had cars.
You were still in high school, so.
I was still in, during most of the depression, I was in grammar school.
Grammar school.
39, I came out of grammar school. I was in. By that time, things were starting to turn around a little.
But he had this. He had the restaurant the whole time. And
he had the one on State Street by that time, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, 33 to 59 on State Street. And 59 to 84, when the city gave me eminent domain and took my building for People's Bank. Then that's when I moved to Broad Street.
Oh, okay.
And I was 10 years on Broad Street, and I sold it to Marion Billy. And now that's gone.
And they're not moving anywhere, are they?
Yeah, she's hemming and hawing. Really? I don't know where she could go downtown.
That's a shame.
She's looked at a couple places, but the rents are too high.
There's a song by Joni Mitchell, they paved paradise to put up a parking lot, so.
No, that's what they did around here.
Yeah, that's, we should get back to the, do you remember like listening to the radio and ICC and all, any particular?
I remember when WICC started.
Mm-hmm.
They started in that old building down at the lower end of State Street.
So did some of the broadcasters in that come into?
Oh, they all used to come in,
Who were some of the, you remember Tiny Markle?
Who was the one? Oh, I know Tiny Markle very well.
But there were a lot of people before him.
I used to call him up and tell him when he'd say something wrong, he'd cut me off the air. He knew it was me. And next,
jeez. Who were people before then that that were on the radio that from the old time radio? Well, originally they would just do things like broadcast McLeavy speeches and things, right?
Yeah, that's all it was.
Yeah, they didn't have too many other real broadcast or anything. And the, maybe some of the other things would be like the prepared.
Yeah, of course, there was no television. Mm-hmm. It hadn't been, hadn't come out yet. The first time I saw TV, they had it at the World's Fair in 39.
Wow.
And we went down.
You went down to New York to the World's Fair.
Yeah, well, my uncle took me every place. Mm-hmm. Harrison Square Garden. And
wow, you were lucky.
Oh, I saw everything. All the big fights.
Wow. That's great. What was the most fantastic thing you remember from when your uncle taking you to all these places?
Well, I saw the Lewis Kahn fight, the one that Kahn should have won, but he got a little cocky in the 13th round.
And what year would that have been?
I think that was around 41. Mm-hmm. Then they had the rematch. Of course, Lewis won the second one easy. But I knew him. I used to go out and see him.
And see who?
Lewis and Billy Kahn.
Uh-huh. Now, did you know...
And Sugar Ray Robinson, they used to all come up.
Wow.
Come up like once a...
Did they come to Bridgeport?
Yeah,
they did?
They came to the restaurant.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So this was really a happy place. Did
most of all those pictures were taken in one of the restaurants, either State Street or Main Street.
Did you know, I'm trying to think of his name, McGillicuddy? What was his name? I'm trying to think. What were some of the, like, the places just for to go have a good time and music and that? Did you go to the Ritz or anything?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Did you?
Our high school graduation party out there. But yeah, we saw everybody.
Like Dorsey and?
Tommy Dorsey and
Glenn Miller?
Every one of them, yeah.
They all came to Bridgeport?
They all played Bridgeport, yeah.
Wow.
They did their Ritz or they played the Globe or the Lyric.
Did you guys ever go down to Seaside Park or anything? Or?
Oh, every day. We used to walk down that.
Really?
We lived in the summer.
Really? Just down the beach and that? And
yeah, we'd walk down and from Washington. It was just about a mile and a half, 2 miles. Mm-hmm. Every single day we were there. I'd go down in the morning and
just spend the whole day down
long.
There. When you were when you were like in a grade school?
Yeah, when there was my grandmother told me when I was born, my mother was living on Atlantic Street then.
Oh, okay. So she was down that way.
Up in the park there, that little part of the park when you come in across from Conti's is now, that little green. She used to take me up in the carriage, she said, and put me there like early in the morning, give me a bottle and go home, do her house cleaning.
Oh, my goodness.
And come back at noon.
Wow.
And today she'd get arrested.
Oh, she would be arrested in a minute. She would just take you down to the park, put you under a tree,
and go back and do her house cleaning. And
that's amazing.
But we used to, well, like I say, I was 5, 6, 7 at the time. We used to walk by ourselves to the park and spend the whole day there.
Did you play a lot of baseball when you were a kid?
I played a little bit.
You weren't really into it.
But nothing, no.
Yeah. Did you box yourself ever?
No, I never did.
You never got into boxing?
No.
Yeah.
We left that to my uncle.
Just saw all the greats. Now, what do your brothers end up doing today?
My brother, Freddie, worked for Bullard's, then he went to work for Sikorsky. Mm-hmm. He worked for them for, I guess, 37 years. Mm-hmm. And he passed away. He was working for them. And my brother, he was a mailman at Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. And he transferred to outside of Baltimore, where he is now. And he just retired after like 42 years with the post office. Oh. About a year ago, he retired.
Mm-hmm. From Bridgeport Post Office?
Well, he started out in Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then he put in a transfer for Maryland.
Oh, okay.
And my sister Barbara, she worked for Warner Go. And my sister Jean, he worked for Klein, on the City Lumber Company. Mm-hmm. She worked with.
Did you ever work for any of the companies in Bridgeport?
I worked for General Electric for a short while.
Uh-huh. Over on Boston Avenue?
Yeah.
What'd you do there?
I was a polisher, and I used to finish, like, you know, toasters.
Oh, okay. And when was that, like right after the war?
That was right after the war, 46.
There were plenty of jobs back then.
Oh, yeah.
Were you involved with any of the, because there were a lot of strikes right after the war, too?
I went in during the strike, yeah. But I didn't go on strike.
Oh, okay.
Because I hadn't joined the union, so it was...
Because I think in 1946, there was a big strike right then. So.
I think that's about the time, yeah, right. Yeah.
That's
and I know I went to work, people didn't like it.
Oh, so you had to actually cross, do you remember crossing
yeah,
the picket
sure.
line?
Yeah, sure, yeah, because I didn't belong to the union, so
it
I didn't have
to. It must have been a huge picket line.
Oh, yeah.
What, do you remember how that went when you...
Well, nobody ever bothered me. I mean, I used to go into the court, they didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But then my father, he worked for Sikorsky's. Down at Seaside Park yet, they weren't up at Stratford yet. And when they went on strike, he went on strike, but that's when he opened the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So, now when they called him back, he said no, he liked the restaurant.
So did he start right, because Sikorsky started in the late 30s.
Yeah, they started down in the park.
Right. And
well, when we were young, I can remember when Igor Sikorsky, he used to fly over when the helicopters first came.
Wow.
Because they were made in Stratford.
Right.
And he had no place to test them, so he used to bring them to come down the end of the park. So where West Beach is now, that was all open land.
Would you see him flying
yeah,
himself?
Yeah, sure, he'd take us up.
He always have a hat on?
Yeah, yeah, he'd take us up for a ride.
Oh, really?
He didn't go any higher than the trees.
Wow.
And they wouldn't let him fly over the city. That's why he had to come across the Sound, because they were afraid it was going to fall down.
Wow.
He was a great guy.
He would actually take you up in the helicopter?
Yeah. But I don't think we went higher than the trees.
Wow. Did your mom know that you were going?
Nobody knew it.
No. How many kids would he take up?
Whoever wanted to go.
Wow.
Take one at a time.
What year would that have been around?
Well, I figured I was about 7 or 8, so that would have been in the early 30s.
That's wonderful.
Probably about
wow.
33.
Do you remember any... let's see, you were too young for the locomobile.
Yeah, too young for that.
Went out in 1926,
right,
so you
yeah,
were in your
I don't remember that one.
And then there was Lake Submarine, that went out pretty much
that.
Earlier than that. So the, trying to think of what else was down in the south end.
The crane company was down there.
Mm-hmm.
And what else was there? That's how they built the Seaside Village.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1918 for the first war. And I don't know what was down there. But the fellow that owned the company, he built up for the help.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Seaside Village started out. And
right.
he brought his help and the immigrants in.
Uh-huh.
And he put them up in there.
Wow. Now, getting back to like when after World War II, you worked in GE for a while, and you worked for your
about
uncle.
About a year, I worked there.
You
yeah.
mostly worked for your uncle,
mostly,
right?
Yeah, off and on. Yeah.
Your
yeah,
whole
until
life,
60.
Pretty much until you bought your own place.
Until 68, yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you remember, during the let's go through the mayors. You can tell me a story for each mayor, maybe. Somebody
well,
that you remember.
I know McLeavy, and then
McLeavy.
Of course,
do you remember when McLeavy
yeah.
went out when he
yeah.
the final? Because he actually ran for
he
governor.
Ran for governor. Yeah.
Right.
And then that's when Tedesco came in.
When Tedesco came in.
Tedesco.
Yeah. And do you remember the
he's in one of those pictures, I think, Tedesco.
The Wheeler Mansion thing.
Oh, I stole the papers there.
Really?
Yeah, it was one of my roots. He was terrific, that fellow.
So you do remember going?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Archie and...
That was one of the best stops, because they always gave you a piece of fruit, and usually an extra quarter.
So you actually brought...
Oh, yeah, I used to go into the mansion.
And what was it like?
It was beautiful. They never should have torn that down.
Wow.
They should have moved the Barnum Museum up there. That's what I always said.
What was Archie Wheeler like?
Real nice fellow.
Really?
Yeah.
Now he would have been.
Of course, we see him out in the garden a lot, because mostly the housekeeper would take care of cleaning us off and all.
What was his housekeeper? I actually remember his housekeeper's name, Margaret, I think. Now his brother wasn't alive.
I don't remember
that point, because he did have a twin brother,
did
actually.
He?
Yeah.
I don't remember him.
Yeah. So what were the grounds of the house like?
It's beautiful. I don't know what happened to all the furniture that he had, but that went someplace.
So that
was in City Hall for a while.
Right. Yeah, that's still, some of it's at the Smithsonian, and some of it the Barnum Museum has now on display. But when that was being torn down, wasn't that a big fight in the city?
Yeah, big fight, yeah. That was Tesla was doing for the thruway, for Route 8.
But it wasn't, it, didn't it start during McLeavy's administration?
What, you mean the, no, the...
Well, to build a new city hall, he was gonna build a new city hall and...
McLeavy?
Yeah.
I don't think so. McLeavy didn't build too much.
Was McLeavy pretty stingy?
Very.
Never, yeah. He never would leave you a tip, eh?
No, well, he never drank.
Yeah.
I don't know if he tipped in Van Dyke's, he may have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he didn't spend too much. He was a very honest mayor, mm-hmm. but not a progressive one.
Right.
I mean, for the times that he was in during the war years, and people were making tons of money, well, he kept the taxes down low, and he really could have raised them, and nobody would have really said much. You know?
Do you think Bridgeport suffered at all because of that? That he wasn't doing much?
Yeah. Things got held back a lot. Like when Congress burned down, he never rebuilt it. He just doubled the classes at Central. Congress was never rebuilt.
Uh-huh.
Then they had afternoon classes, but I was out by that time. They had afternoon classes and night classes.
Mm-hmm. So it was really after...
Yeah, he wasn't too progressive.
Mm-hmm. He didn't really...
Didn't steal nothing, though, but they had plenty of money in there when he left. But
and he walked everywhere, too, didn't he?
Walked every place or drove his own little old car.
Oh, he lived over on Salem Street.
He was a roofer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did he know his wife, Vida, at all?
Yeah, uh-huh.
She probably... Did they both come into the restaurant, or...?
She never. Women really didn't come on that.
Yeah.
Well, women weren't allowed in the bar till.
Oh, they weren't?
No, not those days. They had to come in the back room.
There was a separate entrance.
Yeah. And then they couldn't sit at the bar only until, God, that didn't come in. I was on Main Street then. That probably came in around the 70s.
Really?
Yeah, women were never allowed. They had to be 3 feet from the bar.
Wow.
Then when the women's lib took it in, then the first year they came back, they said women had to sit at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the bars took their stools away.
Wow.
And then they made the law found here that they could stand at the bar if they wanted to.
Oh, that's amazing. I know that's true because in Canada, when I used to go to Canada when I was a kid, they still had a separate entrance uh-huh. in a lot of places for women to come in. So then Tedesco was mayor, and what can we remember about Tedesco? Was he a good mayor?
Well, I was out of town most of the time mm-hmm. while he was in. But that's when things started. The surplus started disappearing.
Uh-huh. The surplus?
There was plenty of money there.
Because he hadn't spent a cent, right?
No. And there was a lot of money in there. I don't think there's much in there now.
Oh, I don't think so either. And then Hugh Curran.
Hughie was great. Yeah.
That was after Tedesco.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, of course, I know Huey. We all grew up together.
Uh-huh.
Huey, John Branley, and actually, I think he, if he had a recount, he would have won.
Who would have won?
Curran.
The last time?
Yeah, because what happened was his party was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him out in the front, and after the election, I said, you know, Huey, you only lost like about 4 or 5 votes. Have a recount. He said, no, he says, my own party went against me, so I don't want it, even if I won the recount.
Wow. What was the fight about?
I don't know. It was in fighting, like mm-hmm. what's starting now with the council breaking away. And
mm-hmm. Bridgeport has kind of turned into a Democratic town, eh?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Republicans. The only time Republicans ever got in was when the Democrats fought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's no way they could get in if all of the Democrats vote Democrat. They're outnumbered 8-1, I think.
What do you think about having a third party system like the socialists again?
That's probably what it's going to come to, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think it will.
What do you think it was like growing up in a town that had a third party system? I mean, it's like, for us, it's, I guess it's...
Everybody was making money.
Right.
Everybody was, probably a restaurant on every corner there was.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes two in every corner. And everybody was making money. The movies were going. And of course, the taxes weren't as high. And
things were different.
Yeah,
in the
so what
States.
You made, you could keep some of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. You weren't involved at all with the WPA at all when they came to
Oh, I remember that. I remember when they built the American Parkway. Because
mm-hmm.
we used to. Park Avenue at that time, there was nothing beyond Capitol Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So when we first learned to drive, like we used to go driving without a license up there because the cops never came past Capitol Avenue.
So you'd go up to...
So we used to go up to watch the WPA building, Mary Parkway.
Wow.
They were building the bridges. And then, of course, it only went up as far as New Haven for years. It didn't, because they couldn't get through that rock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but, to build that tunnel.
Yeah, they had to build a tunnel.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing, yeah, because the cops, they never bothered you on the other side of Capitol Avenue.
They used to practice.
You could go 100 miles an hour, but the cars couldn't go that fast.
Sounds like they had a lot of fun.
So all the kids went out there, and that's where they most mm-hmm. of them learned to drive.
Really? What you learned when you were 15?
I was 15 driving for a year. And then when I was 16, uh-huh. the day I turned 16, I went down. Motor vehicle was on Fairfield Avenue then. Downtown here, it was across from the post. And that's where I got my license. Mm-hmm. They would take you up Cortland Hill, this inspector, and he would make you stop. Of course, there was no automatic cars. Everything was standard chip.
Wow.
And he would make you stop in the middle of the road, turn it back on, and then if you went and go, he'd just say, come on back, here's your license. Because if you could stop in the middle of the hill and start and go without rolling back
was
down.
Was that Sport Hill?
No, Sport Hill was, we used to test the cars up there.
Uh-huh.
Cortland Hill was over here, where they're, about where they, where the building fell down. It was a big steep hill, mm-hmm. and the police station, the old police station, was on the bottom, and Crawford Laundry, and the Bishop's Estate was there. And Mr. Bishop used to let us go sleigh riding in there, and, mm-hmm. and that was quite a hill for. And then that, what happened, I think somebody hit a tree and got killed or something, and, wow. and then he stopped the sleigh riding because I guess they sued him. Or,
do you remember when they first started, like the Barnum Festival Parade and
oh,
all
yes.
that?
Oh yes, yeah, sure. Yeah.
So you knew Stein Krause and
I knew him very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was that like?
I mean, I know that was terrific. See, my uncle was my other uncle on my mother's side was a police sergeant,
mm-hmm.
and so I used to be down in the garage every day practically, and of course the parade always came by, and that's where they had the revealing scene.
Mm-hmm. Right. Where was that?
It was. About where the hardware store is now, at least. Mm-hmm. They tore all that out. You see it?
Right.
Yeah.
The parade used to start like a Bull's Head, right?
Let's see. A couple of years it started at Bull's Head. A couple of years it started at the park.
Mm-hmm. The other way around.
And
it seems to, every once in a while, once
they
reverse.
Used to switch a link every so often, yeah.
And now it doesn't.
But it always came, when it went to Bull's Head, it always came up Main Street.
Main Street.
Take a ride on Fairfield Avenue. Up to Park Avenue, take a left, and always ended in the park.
So back then it was only a week, really, or it didn't.
Was no month thing like it is
or
now.
Or just a couple
it was basic,
days.
Basically, just a big parade.
And they would let the kids wouldn't even be in school or anything. Well, I guess it was in July usually.
It was always in July.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, when the circus used to come to town, the West End, we used to go down. I guess we were 10 or 11, 12. And we could bring water to the elephants, mm-hmm. and they give you a pass, let you go in.
So it would all be over in the West End?
Yeah, down with, we used to call it the circus grounds.
Uh-huh.
It would be down around, just before you go into Black Rock on the left.
So
well,
Wentfield was the winter quarters.
Right, that was winter quarters.
But that moved out in 27.
Yeah, so I moved to Sarasota, Florida.
You were just a baby, you don't remember that?
I remember. Well, one of my Aunt Catherine, she married one of the circus.
Really?
Charlie Potter, in fact. His son retired from the police department.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed in town after he came out. He was from Texas.
And what did
he traveled with the circus.
Did he do it? Was he a performer or was he a worker?
Yeah, I guess he was a performer. Then after that, he went to work one of the factories when he stayed here.
Do you remember what he did? What his...
With the circus?
Yeah.
I don't know what he did or he was.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't think he was a trapezist. It could have been a clown for all I know.
Yeah, that's interesting. It was a different city back then.
Yeah.
So,
we had roller skating every night someplace.
Oh, really?
Redmond's Hall, Mosque.
And out at the Mosque, yeah.
The Mosque was big for roller skating.
Mm-hmm.
And boxing and wrestling. It was something, some activity every night. of the week, he could have gone someplace.
Something to do, something to go to, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Because we walk over to Pleasure Beach almost every night in the summertime. About Seven Rock a lot, maybe once every couple months.
Did you take the trolley or did you drive?
We take the trolley.
Trolley, yeah. You could take the trolley just about anywhere.
Hardly anybody, well, my uncle's the only one that had a car in our family. My father, he didn't have a car for years because everybody could walk to work.
Yeah. So was there any...
Or take the bus or the trolley.
Do you remember any like, sort of, what do you call it? Not gangster, but gangster-type activity in Bridgeport?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I remember when they had up at the old quarry up off... It was way up off Park Avenue, way up there. And it was like a club.
Mm-hmm.
And these mobsters, whoever, they used to come in from New York. And they came in all these big cars. When we were kids, we'd go up, because we were afraid to go near it. And that's where they'd have their little big meetings.
And what were they?
Oh, they were just come out of New York, whatever they did down there.
Was there, like, during, because were they doing any kind of, cause that was around Prohibition time, or?
Yeah, oh yeah, there was a lot of bootlegging. My uncle had three speakeasies.
He did?
Yeah, that's
he
why.
He did?
Sure, so then when Lucker came back, him and, how was the other one? Pudgy Bajira.
Uh-huh.
They got the first licenses in town because they were all...
Already in there.
They were the only ones that knew how to run the liquor business. Nobody in the state knew anything about it.
And where was his speakeasies?
He
did
had
you know?
One on West Avenue and... West and John Street, and he had two up in the Hollow, one on Mellon Street on Harold Avenue, and the other one was on Harold Avenue.
No wonder he was such a popular guy.
Sure.
And what did he, and how did that work? I mean, how did people go to speakeasies?
Well, they just came in the back door and knocked and had the password, and of course, everybody in town knew where they were, so most of the policemen. Look the other way.
And where would they bring in the
they would bring it in. They would run it in from Long Island on boats. A lot of it was run down from Canada. They brought it across the border.
And they'd just bring it in. Called the plaza that they...
We had the plaza downtown,
wasn't
but
it,
I don't
some,
recall
some
it.
Of the bootleg, some of the speakeasies and stuff?
I don't recall it. I don't
okay.
For a bootleg, you know.
But where would they bring in the stuff?
Well, they'd bring it in on boats down into Seaside Park. But most of it came down by trucks from Canada.
Oh, from Canada?
Yeah, they just had to come across the border.
They didn't have prohibition in Canada, so...
Evidently not.
Guess not. So then when finally when they came through that, because what would they serve in the restaurant? Then they would just keep cleaning the restaurant? Or
well,
was he
very,
still?
Very few places served any food. I mean, it was mostly drinking. And of course, the nighttime, they had the night, they had maybe a little piano player or a little band or something, and that was the big thing for the people.
Now, did every ethnic group sort of have their own place to hang out?
Just about, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of places do you remember?
Well, the Lithuanians had their, they still have a little place down here, at South End.
Right, that's a nice, that's like a speakeasy,
that's,
isn't
that's
it?
Still there.
To know somebody to get in there, I guess.
Well, the Marines are running it now.
Oh, okay.
The Marine Association. And I think they're only open like Friday night and Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Sunday, I'm not sure. And then the Hungarians, they had a little hunky town, had a little Hungary. And of course, most of the Irish were in the Hollow. And we very seldom went to the east side. We ever go over the east end or the east side. Now, my aunt's mother lived in Stratford. So we used to take the Barnum State bus over. We used to end right at her house. But as far as we never hung around, and, except Newfield Park, we'd go to. But that was about it.
Do you remember going to Barron's Meat Market?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
he used to have big dinners sometimes, didn't he, upstairs?
All I remember, they did all the sawdust on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And and the butchers, and my aunt was a, one of my aunts, my, on my mother's side, was a cashier there. Mm-hmm. They had like a cashier in a booth,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd just buy your pound of meat or what, and then go up and pay her. And,
oh, okay. So he was the mayor of Bridgeport, but then he later...
Yeah,
he,
so...
But during the, did he own that? Why he was mayor, too? Probably.
I would think so. I would think so, yeah. Because
right,
yeah. In those days, the mayor didn't get paid hardly anything. It was mm-hmm. more or less an honorable job.
Yeah, McClevey's was a roofer.
That's what he was a roofer.
And he, I think you know. He kept that
he
up.
He kept doing it. Yeah, he kept doing the roof.
He probably did my roof.
I think they probably didn't get paid enough in those days to, you know, have a full-time job.
The guy that owned my house used to be, he ran against McClevey once, Bruno.
Oh, Bruno?
Do you know Bob Bruno?
Bobby Bruno, yeah.
What was he like?
Oh, he's a nice guy, very nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell me anything about him?
I know his son. His son's living down
there. Oh.
Danny Bruno. He moved to Cape Fear, North Carolina. He's down there now.
Yeah, I think he was a Republican, and he ran against him in the early 50s or late 40s.
Yeah, and then what happened was the socialists were, of course, getting into everything.
Mm-hmm.
And what the aldermen did, they took the districts. The Democrats and the Republicans got together, and they each took a district. The Republicans took District 1, the Democrats took District 2, and then they would both vote for each other. And then District 3 would be Republican, District 4 was a Democrat. That's the only way they could beat the socialists.
Wow. That was like in the early 50s, right?
Yeah, right. It was, for years it was all, that's how they, like today now, they're all Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never get a Republican on there. Well, they just got one.
Well, they did.
But
we had Mary Moran in the 90s.
Wow, yeah.
For two years?
Yeah, she had one term.
Oh, that's right. It was one. That's right. Now it's 4 years.
Now it's four. Yeah, this is the first 4 year. This was the first 4 year, and I kept telling them, "Don't do it," because I said, "There's no recall for a mayor.
Right.
You can impeach the president and everybody else in the country, but you can't touch a mayor." I could never figure that out.
Wow.
And so they said to put some sort of recall in case you did something, because I used to say, "Well, you know, this guy could go down and do anything he wants in town. He goes to jail, he's still the mayor. He goes to jail now if he doesn't resign."
Really?
Yeah, they claim there's a clause in there that if he's a felony, then he does lose.
Mm-hmm.
But look at what's the name was, Curley was the mayor of Boston. He got reelected while he was in jail.
Look at the guy in Washington.
And the guy in Washington.
He's back.
And he's back.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, we have short memories, I think, as voters. Okay, so we got Nick Panuzio. He was a Republican.
He was a Republican. He's the one that beat Kermit because the Democrats were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he never would have got it.
And then...
Then he gave it up to go to Washington.
Right.
But he... let's see, who was Billy...
Well, there was
Billy
William
Sears.
Sears
Billy
for
Sears
a little
was,
while.
Yeah, he was the head of the council.
Uh-huh.
But Panuzio waited till after... like the nominations had to be in for mayor at a certain date, and he waited till after that expired, and then he resigned and gave it to Sears. Billy Sears couldn't even run again for himself.
Oh, jeez.
It was too late for him to file.
Wow.
So he was only in like 3 months.
He was,
three, 4 months. Wasn't much more than that.
Oh, yeah, right. Very short.
Very short time, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing.
And then the guy who everybody seems to remember is John Mandanese.
Yeah, John was very good. I like
some
John.
Good stories about him?
He liked the city.
He liked the city?
He had no intentions of running for governor. Mm-hmm. He was very happy. He was in Bridgeport.
What about the time the FBI was investigating him?
Nothing happened to him. Everybody else went.
He managed to get... It was a crazy time, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we had Paoletta.
Yeah, he's the one that gave me the end of the domain.
Really?
Yeah.
That was it, when you were on...
Main Street.
What were they doing then?
I think I was the first one in town that got them in the domain. And I went to the Common Council and I said, don't do it. I said, you're going to open up a Pandora's box. And look what happened. Everything is eminent domain.
And when they gave you eminent domain, what did that mean?
That meant that they owned it. I owned it at 12:05. They owned it at 12:00.
Then they didn't, they paid you though, right?
Nah, they don't pay enough. They pay you a little bit and then they say, take us to court. So you take them to court, by the time the court case comes up, so these people, nobody ever really gets what they deserve.
Wow. And that was on, right on Main Street.
That was on Main Street, yeah. And I lived there too. I had an apartment up there. Mm-hmm. And it was a hotel originally.
No, this was the same place your uncle had owned?
Yeah, when he died, I bought it from his wife. And I had 16 rooms.
Wow.
And then when they eminent domain, then I had to start paying rent from in my own place.
Wow.
And that was the big story that Joel Thompson wrote. That was about 2 or 3 pages in headlines in the Post.
About?
Yeah. And then John Mannese came in, and John said, see, he said, your own party gave you a shaft. Didn't exactly say shaft.
Right, yeah.
He says, you know, he never would have done it.
That was so they could build the People's Bank.
Yeah, that's where the People's Bank is now.
Then now, there was a different building then too, even, right? Yeah,
yeah, they tore it all down. And mine was... I don't see now. That was 1982 when they gave me the eminent domain. I held them up for about 2 years. Finally, they came down, and my lawyer said, "You better get out of there." He broke the windows. He said, "They'll shoot you next because you're holding up." When they finally got to court, I said to him, "When I went to school, eminent domain meant if you want to put a school, or a road, or a tunnel, I could see that. But I said, how could you take my business and give it to another business?" It just doesn't make sense.
Wow.
So I told him, I said, you're going to open up a Pandora's box. And in fact, it was one of the aldermen at the time. She came down after. She said, I wish we'd listen to you.
Was she black?
No. Bernie was on the board at the time.
Uh-huh.
He owned the gas station on the... I forget, Joanne Freer, maybe?
Yeah,
it might have been Joanne. But she came down later and said, you know, we never should have done it.
Because
now look what's happening.
Right.
Mary's got eminent domain, and now you can't do anything.
I know, they did that to Corbett's and those places.
They did everything after that. And that's just what they did. Now it's all over the country. They're starting to, a lot of these towns are starting to check up on this.
Kind of they're shooting themselves in the
front. Yeah, they're chasing out all the little businesses. Well, yeah. Paoletta's idea was to make Bridgeport like a little financial center.
Oh. Well, that didn't work.
No, it didn't work. They all went broke. They went busted. City Trust and Mechanics and Gateway, went
broke. You can't. Because I've been here 16 years and it's not even, none of them are the same anymore except for Peoples.
Peoples about the only one, yeah.
Yeah. So we had Paoletta, and then Beauty.
Mary Moran.
We had Beauty, yeah.
But did he beat? Who beat
Len, it was Len, Paoletta, Beauty, and then Moran, and then Gannon.
Then Gannon beat, yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anybody could beat her with after that bankruptcy, but she was on the right track, I think.
Yeah. That's what they actually say, that she was on that. Really...
But the city owned really too much at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I don't think, what do we own now? I don't think we own anything. The zoo is gone.
Tell me if I'm right about this, but I think most of downtown right now is owned by the city.
It is.
Do a map. I can think, but I think they own most of downtown.
They do.
And most of the east side.
Yeah.
Or at least the east.
They're not supposed
part
to be landlords.
The east side.
The city's
but
not.
And I don't know if we're ever getting any kind of tax money anymore.
They're not.
Because they've given us.
Parks ain't paying nothing.
So be all of it, but getting back to our history here, did you ever belong to any like ethnic or social organizations in the city? I mean,
I belong to the Elks Club, mm-hmm. a life member. I've been there 55 years. The Moose Club I used to belong to. VFW,
mm-hmm.
American Legion, Knights of Columbus, the Fourth the Green Knight, a life member of them. Port 5, National Association of Naval Veterans.
Mm-hmm.
We started that in 1946. We all met, there was a group that met on Park Avenue upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it started out.
So, is there anything that you want to tell?
Catholic War veterans, I belong to. I guess I belong just about every one of them.
Oh, really?
I still do, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm a life member of three of them, the Elks, the Knights of Columbus, the VFW, the American Legion.
Wow. There's a few organizations you belong to. Is there anything in particular that you want to say about Bridgeport, or that you, you know, that you remember?
Well, I'm afraid it's not going to come back.
No?
I think their only hope is the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And if industry did come, which it won't come, because the utility bills are too high, and tax. You go down south, you want to see the building going on. Every time I go down, I go back, there's a new building going up.
So you're moving where?
I'm moving to Garden City Beach, South Carolina.
You actually already have to live there.
Yeah,
I remember at least 10 years ago, you were giving the place up.
Back to sell my place down here.
Uh-huh.
But see, my son had one up in Fox Ledge, and I more or less stayed around and keep an eye on that one. And then we sold that in April. So he said, what are you going back for? I said, I'm going back to sell mine.
Because
he lives in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
And he has a place down the beach about 3 miles from me.
Wow.
So I'll see more of them. And my granddaughter's just turned 4, so I'll see her more.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to miss Bridgeport in terms of...
I don't think so.
No?
Every time I come back, it's getting worse.
Right, yeah.
I go down now, I don't even have any desire to come back.
I think you should write a book about tales.
Everybody says that.
Tales behind the bar. You probably had some great stories.
Yeah,
you?
I guess so.
Although you've told me a lot of great things today. Well, so you have any words of wisdom to the young people that might be listening to this?
There are not too many young people left in Bridgeport.
Teenagers will be listening to this probably.
No.
You know, it'll be here for history.
That's why I said, even if somebody did want to come here, there really is no skilled help left.
Mm-hmm.
Like my son, as soon as he went down 10 years ago, he said he'd never be back, and he's never come back.
Right.
It said he's never been up north.
Yeah.
And I would say down where he is in Charlotte, the average age is probably about 38 to 40. I'm one of the oldest ones down there when I go down.
Sounds great.
And Atlanta, same mm-hmm. way. Greenville, South Carolina.
Better
all
weather,
young
right?
people.
Yeah, it's supposed to be beautiful down there. All righty. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
For talking to me today, and I will, you know, we'll have this for history.
Yeah, we didn't have Mike Daly though.
No.
Tell Mike. I'm gonna give Mike when I see him. Hey, where were you?
Take care.